come to Unza Radio Main News, broadcast at 17:45. The headline: in local news, government extends a suspension of 10% export tax on copper concentrate to December 2025. CEC wins appeal in $29.6 million dispute with KCM. In international news, US to send 200 troops to Israel to monitor Gaza ceasefire. In sports news, Inclusive Sports Festival empowers over 500 children in Lusaka. With the news in detail, my name is Mwale Jonathan Jonas. In local news, government has extended the suspension of the 10% export tax on copper concentrate beyond the initial 3 months, with the measure now set to remain in effect until the end of December 2025. Mines and Mineral Development Permanent Secretary Dr. Hapenga Kaveta says the decision follows the continued maintenance work on Chavishi Copper Smelter and ongoing technical challenges at the Konkola Copper Mine Smelter, which has significantly reduced the country's overall smelting capacity. The suspension, which was first announced in August this year, was initially intended to last for 3 months to help ease the growing stockpile of unprocessed copper concentrate caused by disruption of local smelters as mining companies refrained from exporting under the tax burden, which would otherwise result in financial losses. Dr. Kaveta explained that the mining companies appealed to the government for an extension, citing the ongoing technical difficulties, and the request has since been granted to allow operations to stabilize by year end. He has, however, emphasized the need for long-term measure to extend Zambia's smelting and refining capacity, noting that achieving the country's 3 million ton annual copper production target will require sustained investment in new processing infrastructure. A 14-year-old girl has died after being hit by a tire that came off moving vehicle in Chipata district of Eastern Province. The incident occurred today around 07:30 hours near St. Eugene University along the Great East Road. Eastern Province Police Commissioner Robertson Member says the victim, Maria Piggy, sustained fatal head injuries and was pronounced dead upon arrival at the Chipata District Hospital. The body has been deposited into Chipata Central Hospital mortuary, awaiting for post-mortem examination results. The vehicle involved was Volvo truck and trailer driven by Jonathan Sakala, 40, of Chipata Montel area, who escaped unhurt. Southern Province Minister Credon Nanjua has called on the media to take ownership and actively promote the Southern Province investment and trade expansion. Speaking to journalists after touring the expo venue on Friday, Mr. Nanjua explained that the event is vital for revising and attracting investment to the province. He urged media practitioners to play a proactive role in amplifying its significance and reach. Meanwhile, Livingston Mayor Constance Mariambai expressed optimism that the expo will help rejuvenate the once thriving car assembly and textile initiative industry in Livingston. She noted that the revival of these industries would generate much needed employment, particularly for youth who have benefited from the Constraint Development Fund CDF skills bursaries. Livingston Press Club President Angela Hanuka assured the minister that journalists are prepared and enthusiastic about providing comprehensive coverage of the event. Still in local news, Bishop Billy Mfula, chairperson of the National Day of Prayer, Fasting, Repentance and Reconciliation Organizing Committee, has called on citizens to treat the upcoming observance as a sacred moment for national unity and reflection, free from political influence. Speaking at the media briefing in Osaka, Bishop Mfula emphasized that the National Day of Prayer is not affiliated with any political party, but is a time for Zambians to see God's grace, offer thanksgiving, and celebrate the peace and stability that the nation continues to enjoy. He urged citizens to rise above division and rise a united voice of praise for divine victory, reinforcing the spiritual significance of the day. Organizing Committee Vice Chairperson Penya Sindewe added that no political party regalia will be permitted at the event, ensuring that gathering remains inclusive and focused on the spiritual purpose. Southern Province Minister Kurdon Jove says the government will continue to collaborate with higher education institutions to transform Zambia's education sector. Speaking during the official closing of the inauguration higher education in Dawa 2025 in Livingston District, Mr. Nanjuva emphasized that government aims to align ideas from Indara with the aspiration of the 80th National Development Plan, Vision 2030, and the Sustainable Development Goals. House of Chief Chairperson Chief Chongo underscores the importance of robust high education system in producing a skilled workforce and strengthening governance. He added that such system also fosters entrepreneurship and equips the nation to tackle modern challenges such as climate change and digital transformation. Meanwhile, Copperbelt University Student Union Prime Minister Monde Onesman called the revision of the higher education curriculum to better meet industry demand. He addressed the need to universities training mining engineers capable of running Zambia's mines and reducing reliance on expatriate expertise. Finally, in local news, the Court of Appeal has ruled that Konkola Copper Mines must treat Copper Belt Energy Corporation CEC as a preferential creditor and settle its outstanding debt of over $29.6 million, overturning part of a lower court ruling that had denied the claim. In its judgment, the Court of Appeal found that the High Court had mischaracterized CEC's claim, allowed defective class constitution, failed property disclosure related party interests, wrongfully excluded CEC's vote, and did not scrutinize decisive related party debt. The appellate judge ruled that sanctioning the SIM as a mere formality rather than exercising protective discretion was an error, undermining both fairness and statutory safeguards. A three-member bench comprising Justice Justin Charishi, Petronella Ngurube, and Anesia Banda emphasize that classes of creditors must be determined by legal rights rather than the claimed seeds of commercial interest. The court also criticized the explanatory statement accompanied by the SIM, which failed to disclose how related parties, acting as both stakeholders and creditors, could benefit strategically, undermining fairness.